Working with cooperating school districts of Greater St. Louis, author Patricia McKissick has recorded some of her favorite stories for a podcast series entitled Author Visits with Patricia McKissick. Today she reads from one of her favorite books, Going Someplace Special.
Hello, my name is Patricia McKissick, and I write books for young readers. Today I'm going to share a book with you titled Going Someplace Special. And it's rather autobiographical because when I was growing up in the South, it was segregated. Now, a lot of you don't know that word, but let me kind of explain it to you. Segregated means separate and apart. And at one time in the South and in many parts of the country, African Americans were not allowed to go in some of the establishments of white Americans. So that was called segregation. They could not go to the same schools or live in the same neighborhoods. And at one time, they couldn't go in a lot of the businesses. But when I was growing up, there was someplace special that I loved going, and I'd like to share it with you. It's illustrated, it's a picture book, and it's illustrated by Jerry Pinkney. I trust you'll be particular and remember everything I've told you. Oh, I will, Trishan said, real confident-like. Suddenly, her smile grew into a full grin. So you're saying I can go? I reckon. But you best hurry on before I change my mind. Pulling her pocketbook up on her shoulder, Trishan blew her grandmother a thank you kiss. Then she rushed out the door and down the sidewalk. And no matter what, Mom Frances called after her, hold your head up and act like you belong to somebody. At the corner, a green and white bus came to a jerky stop and hissed. When the doors folded back, Trisha Ann bounded up the steps and dropped in the fare, same as when Mama Frances was with her. The girl squared her shoulders, walked to the back, and took a seat behind the Jim Crow sign that said, Colored Section. Trisha Ann had seen such signs all her life. She recalled the first time she and Mama Frances had taken this bus ride, and her grandmother had told her, those signs can tell us where to sit, but they can't tell us what to think. I'm going to think about someplace special, Trisha Ann said to herself, and turned to look out the window. Stop by stop, the bus began to fill. At the farmer's market, people crowded on, carrying bags of fruits and vegetables. Miss Grinnell, Mama Frances' friend from sewing club, climbed on board. As she inched her way back to the back, Trisha Ann noticed that there were no seats left behind the Jim Crow sign. So she stood up and gave Miss Grinnell hers. It's not fair, she said, glaring at the empty seats up front. No, but that's the way it is, honey, said Miss Grinnell. I don't understand why, she began, but by now the bus had reached Trisha Ann's stop in front of Capitol Square, in the heart of downtown. The door swung open and she hurried off. Carry yourself proud, Miss Grinnell called out the window as the bus pulled away. Holding her hat, Trisha Ann leaned back as far as she could to see Peace Fountain's magnificent water show. It made her dizzy to watch the sprays that shot high into the air, but she liked the feeling and turned round and round with her arms outstretched. Then giggling, she staggered on wobbly legs to a nearby bench. Instantly, Trisha Ann leaped to her feet. On the bench was a sign that said, For Whites Only. Her face fell and she wished for Mama Frances' strong hand to hold. Silly signs, she muttered as she strutted off on sober legs. At the edge of the square, she greeted Jimmy Lee, a street vendor. What's got your face all clouded up like a stormy day? He asked, handing Trisha Ann a free pretzel. Jim Crow makes me so mad, she said. My grandfather was a stonemason on Peace Fountain. Why can't I sit down and enjoy it? Jimmy Lee pointed to a sign in Monroe's restaurant. My brother cooks all the food they serve there, he said. But do you think we can sit at one of those tables and have a BLT and a cup of coffee? Then with a chuckle, he whispered, not that I'd want to eat anything Jesse cooks. The man can't even ask all water. The light changed, and Trisha Ann carefully started across the street. Don't let those signs steal your happiness, Jimmy Lee called after her. Trisha Ann pulled her shoulders back and fixed her thoughts on being inside that warm and welcoming place where there were no signs. Hurrying up 10th Avenue, she passed the filling station and stopped to buy a pop to wash down Jimmy Lee's pretzel. At the second light, the Southland Hotel rose up in front of her, as spectacular as a palace. Mr. John Willis, the hotel's doorman, saw her. I believe an angel done slipped away from heaven, he said, smiling. Trisha Ann managed to smile back. Mr. John Willis always said the nicest things. No, sir, it's just me. Your mouth is smiling, but your eyes aren't, he said. Just then, a long white car with two police escorts pulled up in front of the hotel. A man with black shiny hair and shy eyes stepped out. Suddenly, people were everywhere, screaming and begging for his autograph. Trisha Ann got caught in the crowd and swept inside. So often she'd wondered what it would feel like to walk on the royal red carpet that covered the double winding staircase, or to stand in the light of the chandelier that looked like a million diamonds strung together. Now there she was, smack in the middle of the Southland Hotel's grand lobby. Somebody pointed to her. What is she doing in here? It seemed as if the whole world had stopped talking, stopped moving, and was staring at her. The manager pushed his way to the front of the crowd. What makes you think you can come inside? No colored people are allowed. And he shooed the girl away with his arms. Trisha Ann backed out, shaking her head. I didn't mean, she said, trying hard not to cry. Hurrying past Mr. John Willis, Trisha Ann ran straight into the Mission Church ruins, where Mama Francis often stopped to rest. The girl let the tears come. Getting to someplace special isn't worth it, she sobbed. I'm going home. My flowers have already been watered, came a voice above her. It was Bloomin' Mary, an elderly woman who took care of the garden with neither permission nor pay. Everybody said she was addled, a little bit crazy, but Mama Frances didn't agree. Bloomin' Mary is a kind and gentle soul, she told Trisha Ann. You lost, child? The woman asked. Trying to steady her voice, Trisha Ann answered, No, ma'am. I just wish my grandmother was here to help me get to someplace special. You can't get there by yourself? It's too hard. I need my grandmother. Bloomin' Mary nodded and thought on the matter. Then she said, I believe your granny is here, just as my granny is here with me, even as I speak. Listen close. Tell me what you hear. All Trisha Ann heard was the distant buzz of a bumblebee. What was Bloomin' Mary talking about? But as she listened closer, she began to hear her grandmother's steady voice. You are somebody, a human being, no better, no worse than anybody in this world. Getting someplace special is not an easy route, but don't study on quitting. Just keep walking straight ahead and you'll make it. Trisha Ann recalled these words from many conversations they'd had in this very place. They were so comforting, she didn't feel alone anymore. She wiped her eyes and straightened her hat. You were right, ma'am, the girl told Bloomin' Mary. Mama Frances is here, and she wouldn't want me to turn back. So you aren't lost after all, said Bloomin' Mary, giving Trisha Ann a bright orange zinnia. No, ma'am, I'm not. And saying goodbye, she headed right determined-like on her way to someplace special. I'm going to stop here now, and I'm not going to read the rest of it because I want you to read and find out where is this someplace special that she's gone through so much to get there. And I hope the place that you find will be as special as the place that she found. Thank you.